Here we go. Yes, we did. We are recording. I am so psyched. Everybody, I have yet again another fantastic conversation. It's real and raw conversations with the masters off the cuff with my very favorite people, and that are really, I would say, masters in the work that they do around co-creation, manifestation. And in this case, we've got two of the miracle women. The miracle magic is what we have here today. So we're going to be talking to Marci Shymoff and Deborah Poneman. Their bios are below, so I'm not going to go into who they are and what they do because you're going to have to read about that. So I was so impressed. Thank you guys for so much for saying yes to doing this with me. And
Thank you for inviting us. We're glad that we're in your list of favorite people.
you
So
are.
we made it. We made
You
the
made me on
cut.
my favorite people list. Now my phone, my camera's going funny. Okay, so I was on one of your calls last year, and I was so impressed with it. This is one of the reasons why I asked you to join me today, because everybody who's going to be watching these videos is doing it because we're getting this as a gift for pre-ordering my book, Uncharted. And when I joined you, as I think I was your first speaker for the year, even on your, and I've been sort of watching your Year of Miracles Facebook group, I thought you are perfect to really talk about what do we need to do now when the external world, when the conditions of our world appears to be so uncertain. How do we help people think in a different way, believe different things? So, because miracles are everywhere, and I know that you've got evidence, and you've had all these people that have taken your course, including me. I mean, I've been in and out, kind of checking out what people are saying on your Facebook page, and I'm loving it. So, you know what? I know this is kind of weird because I've never done a three-way on Skype. Oh, I've never done a three-way on Skype. Well, have you ever done it? Never mind. I'm not going to go there at all. No, we're not doing that. We're not going there. So I
Although
think what we'll
Colette,
do
you
is,
are awfully cute.
yeah, I know, but not wrong menu. All right. So we'll just put up our finger when we want to talk, right? So, okay. So who, which one of you want to start? Because why did you guys do it? Why did you come together? You come from very different areas. Why did you come together to make this Year of Miracles?
I'll start.
You start.
I'll start because I'm younger, so I get
Okay.
to. Just have to get that off done right off the
Oh.
bat. So the way this thing, whole thing came about was, as you know, Colette, I was teaching about being happy for no reason. I wrote a book
Yes.
on happy for no reason and love for no reason,
Oopsie.
both of which are about the fact that we cannot control all of the conditions of our life. What we all
Right.
want is to be happy, to feel unconditional love. So how do we develop that inner state of happiness and love that doesn't depend on our circumstances? So that's what Love for No Reason and Happy for No Reason were about. And Colette, you know a little of my story. I was not a happy camper.
Yep,
And
yep.
so I came out of the womb with existential angst. And so I was really came to all of this by a lot of my own trial and error and what really works. How can I really be happy? Well, about 4 years ago, I realized that what I wanted to do next was to mentor people, and I wondered, well, what should I mentor people in? And I was in a situation where I was finding myself waking up every morning feeling as though my life was a miracle. I mean, there were miracles happening every day, and this
Yes.
was from me, the least likely person. I wasn't even happy growing up, So here, not only was I feeling happy, but I was feeling like my life was miraculous. And so I put it out there to see if other people wanted to have a miraculous life, and I had an overwhelming response. And I decided to partner with someone that I was actually my first mentor. So what a lot of people don't know is that when I was 21, Deborah was my boss. I was her secretary. She had a company called Yes Success Seminars, and I helped her. I'd answer the phones and I'd put up little posters of, this was before the internet, about things. And the only way I got started in the speaking business was that one day she was sick and she couldn't teach a seminar. And I said, well, we have to cancel it. And she said, no, we don't. I said, well, who's going to teach it? And she said, you are. So Deborah and I have partnered up, and Deborah has always lived a miraculous life. And we have really worked the last 3, 4 years working with thousands and thousands of people now to help them get in what we call the miracle zone. You know, what we say is that you can't create miracles. Miracles are a gift from the universe, a gift from God, if you will. But what you can do is you can create the conditions for miracles to happen. And that's what Deborah and I have been doing. And it has been absolutely, it's actually blown our minds. It's been more miraculous than what we imagined it could be. So what we know is that miracles are available for everybody.
Yep.
It's just a matter of putting ourselves in the miracle zone.
Ooh, I don't get a comment yet. Deb, I want to hear from you, Deborah.
Well, is this clear? Or
yes.
I'm clear and you're clear. Okay. Well, I want to go back to the question that you started to ask, and then you kind of segued into how did we start your year of miracles. And the first thing you started to say is, with the world in the kind of the interesting place that it is right now, how do we actually inspire people to even believe that miracles are possible?
Right.
And one of the things that I love about our program, it's a one-year program, and what we do is every month we focus on a different area. 1 month relationships, 1 month abundance, 1 month self-love, 1 month health, because we believe that, you know, you can't turn a ship around in a weekend,
right.
But you can over time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what we do every month is we not only give people really powerful knowledge and exercises and meditation. And that's what I was going to say. What we do is we also recognize that there are energetic blocks that people have. And we find the best of the best people who do what you do to help us help move our people along. So
I, you know, here's what's really interesting about this collaboration, why I wanted you both together, because I've actually been studying most of you. I mean, you know, my book is about, and I talk about the essence before the form, in that it's not about the condition. It's about the internal condition. The outside will come in the form that it's supposed to. And that you're right, that miracles are everywhere, but you create the condition for miracles, you can't dictate the kind of miracle, but it's there. And I believe I live a miraculous life, which I'm always getting more miracles. However, so when I started studying unified physics recently, and I'm a science geek, so I always want to know, like, okay, so what are they saying now, given that we've lived in this separation model for so long, this disconnection model? And so there's this new, you know, it's a theory that's now kind of kicking the ass of materialist science, because it's actually saying, no, it's proving that the universe is actually, like Greg Braden mentioned, that it's the bridge, the container, and the mirror. But it's impersonal. Therefore, it will always, you know, reflect back to us whatever we are consistent and reinforcing over time. That's why your year program is really key, because it's not just like a boom, one-shot deal and off you go. It has to be kind of when in a group, you know, where two or more are gathered together, there I am, right? So you have that exponential experience with a group of people, but it's collaborative. So they've now found too, and again, in a conversation with Greg Braden, we're talking about what science has now decided that everybody peer-reviewed, you know, it's got to be reviewed by the peers, right? It can't be just so you know, that nature is not based on, obviously, materialism, because that's the separation model actually isn't true, but that, and also the survival of the fittest and the competition, is also not true, that in fact we are collaborative, connected, communicative, and based in mutual aid. That is what nature is. So what you guys are doing and why you have attracted so many people is you are modeling nature by showing people in a community environment how to connect to a deep truth of prosperity that encompasses everything. And I call that compassionate prosperity, that it is about the reduction of suffering. Go ahead, Deborah.
Yes.
Well, what I was going to say is that when one person is trying to shift their life, it's a lot more challenging. And one of the analogies, Marcy's and my, one of our favorite analogies, is I talk about when I was a little girl and I would go to my girlfriend's swimming pool. We were tiny, but it was an above ground pool, but it was about 3 feet deep. And what we would do is we would stand on the inside of the pool and we'd all hold hands. And then the mother would say, "Now everybody start walking to the right." And it's hard for little girls to walk through water, But then it gets easier and it gets easier and it gets easier. And then she says, now let go. And we'd let go and we would just float with no effort whatsoever. And what we believe is when we come together, we have 12, 14, 1600 people from all over the world, all putting their attention on the possibility of miracles and all moving. And it might be a little difficult at the beginning to get going in that miracle zone. But what we're finding now is that people are just floating.
Right. And there's this also this concept of the zero point field. For example, the zero point, which is harmony. So everybody gets into sync at some point, right? Like you said, you start out a little awkward and a little, hi, how are you, whatever. And then when everybody, it's like magic. I watch the conversations. Everybody gets into the sync. It's like synchronized. And even though that's not what they chose before it happened, you can't visualize this. It is uncharted. Until you get there, you don't know it. But you have to step into the pool. Right, hold hands. Go ahead, Marcy.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is that we're all being entrained with whomever we spend our time with. I mean, you know, there's the concept of entrainment. You see rowers, they get entrained with each other. They get synchronized with each other. And every parent knows that they really care about who their kids are hanging out with because it makes a big difference. You know, they say that we become the average of the five people we spend the most time with. So it's really a matter of, do you want to be entrained with just who you who ends up showing up in your environment, which for the most part is going to be a lot of, there's a lot of negativity out there. Or do you want to be entrained with people who are living in that higher vibration that we call the miracle zone, or with the intention for living a higher kind of a life? I mean, this is why we love hanging out with you, Colette. This is why we love hanging out with the people that we choose to hang out with.
Yeah.
Because we're all saying, hey, life can be lived on a higher level, and let's do it together. And it matters who you entrain, who you hang out with.
And you collaborate. The thing is that I also love about how your conversations are, because you know every groups are different. The groups are different on right. So your Facebook group is very active with collaborative people. That's the other thing. There's no competition in it. People are saying that's for me. So it's the idea that there is a place with this new worldview that's actually working, and it's right in your Facebook group. Go ahead, Deborah.
And I was going to say,
that's for me story too, just because I love that story.
Okay, tell a story. Story.
That's for me story at some point.
Okay, good. Let's tell it now.
Well, I'll tell you that in a second. I just want to say one thing before I forget, because I won't forget. That's for me. But that's the reason why we invite people like you. And a lot of people say, well, then they go off and do their program. And we're like, yay. Because we want people to do whatever works. And I know that people in our group have done your Envision process, and it's completely shifted their life. I mean, they really report that their unconscious patterns have shifted or they're gone. And we're going to say, oh, no, we don't want those people because they might want to go off and work with Colette. Because we're all working together to move this whole universe ahead.
Right.
And the more we collaborate and the more we support one another, the more light we're bringing onto the planet. And it enhances every single one of us.
Totally. Absolutely. Totally. And I think that, you know, listen, we're bringing information that supports a concept of an idea that is nature. Really, it's collaborative, it's community, it's mutual aid. You know, this is how the world actually is supposed to work. You know, it is about connectivity. It is a connected worldview that you guys prove. There's proof of concept because it flourishes. It flourishes, and there's none of this, you know, give me that, give me, I give you this. It's just like, hey, let's play in this big giant sandbox and share our ideas. We share our experience, strength, and hope. And I want to hear about your that's for me story.
Well, Mars, I don't know which one. Are you talking about the lady in the pink car?
I'm talking about the one that you talk about with that's for me, because I used to come at things very much from an attitude of competition
and scarcity,
or jealousy and scarcity. And actually, it was early on that Deborah would tell a story about. You go ahead, because it's your story.
Well, No, it's just the concept is that when we see somebody who has something that we want, and one of the examples that I would use is that we would see some, you know, old friend of ours or some person we knew in high school, and they were married to some handsome guy and, you know, and living in a great house, and we would be like, well, why? I know her from way back. She is a D-I-T-C-H, and what's the story? And when we do that, what we do is we cut off the energy of that same thing coming to us, because we contract when we're criticizing or being judgmental or coveting what somebody else has. So what I would just teach people to do is think of something good that they could say about that person. And also, instead of coveting it, saying, and that's for me.
Right.
And I think what Mars is referring to is that in all the years that I taught Yes to Success, and I started teaching it in 1980, people are constantly coming up to me and saying, oh, I remember this concept and it works so well in my life. And I'd say that the most popular one is that's for me. Because you could just feel the energy coming in. Okay, that's for me. And you know, the other thing that I want to say about you, what you do.
I love this mutual admiration moment.
Well, I love it because I was looking at your new book, Uncharted, and you were talking about spiritual narcolepsy. I mean, who comes up with these concepts except for you?
Great spiritual
narcolepsy, where you fall prey to the fear. And when you see somebody with something that you want, the fear is that I'm not going to get that.
Yes.
Because what you say is that we we fall asleep at the wheel and we forget that spirit has our back. Spirit is going to give us everything, but we have to be co-creators.
Yeah.
And if we're constantly begrudging somebody else for their good, well, that doesn't give a lot of energetic space for spirit to come in and give that same good to you.
Right. Oh my God, you read my book. I love it. Well, you know, it's so true. And I've fallen prey to that too, where I've actually had to. Actually, my friend John Holland and I tease each other. He says, that's for me, you know, because he reminds me, like, says it like you. Maybe he went to one of your classes. It's so funny. But it's true too. I will fall asleep at the wheel. Like, all of a sudden I'm fine. And then, you know, like all of a sudden the dream and the truth of my reality then becomes based on that kind of, well, you know, I realize that where it comes from, because my mom was a Holocaust survivor. So there is this, you know, I had all kinds of crazy patterns that I inherited. So they come up once in a while when I get afraid. And then I have to remember that my little Chicken Little or the bag lady goblin that wakes up that just all of a sudden is driving my bus, right? You know, doesn't trust because of an experience, but that experience of the past is not my present moment experience. And it does take some effort. So I would like to tell people, like, don't judge yourself. We're all going to fall asleep at the wheel. Even those of us who teach this stuff are going to fall asleep at the wheel.
And that is the value
never
of having. And that's the value of having the people around you. You know, if you're driving and you're about to fall asleep, if you got somebody there with you, they're going to wake you up. And that's the value of having the people around you waking you up. But I actually want to mention something that when you talk about being, you know, your mom, a Holocaust survivor. Some of the stuff that we're dealing with isn't even our own stuff.
Yes.
It's ancestral. And so I think that it's important to have compassion for ourselves and also get, okay, I'm not necessarily dealing with just my stuff. I'm dealing with ancestral stuff. And it's said that when we clear whatever it is that we're facing in our lives,
and
we're clearing it for seven generations before us and seven generations in the future. So I think that we are here if we're conscious, and anybody who's listening to this
is conscious. Exactly.
So, you know, yay, we're here for a reason. And we're here to do this work. And we have the tools these days to do this work. We have great people like Colette who have these wonderful books and wonderful tools. And it's because we can. You know, we're in a privileged position to be able to have enough awareness and consciousness, to be able to have enough support around us of each other in these communities that we have, whether it's the Year of Miracles community or your community, Colette, that we've got what we need to really make major, significant consciousness shifts in this life.
I love that you said that because it is about consciousness before matter. Like, you know, what I talk about is this metaphoric map of realms, because I like to be, you know, I kind of think in terms of poetry and whatever, and I talk about first spirit. Spirit is always our primary reality. Then we go into the mind or consciousness, and then we go into light or illumination of the shadow, and then energy, and then form at the end, right? So we have this sense of consciousness that has to wake up before matter can change. So we it may be a bit of time before we see the outpicturing of our thinking and our new beliefs and our sense of a worldview that includes collaboration, etc., and all these things we're talking about. So people tend to say, "Oh, what? Where's my miracle?" Well, I'm like, you know what? Don't look at your current conditions to dictate where you are. You will be lost if you look to this moment and we see the material world outside of us and we see what we've created. We forget that that was all created by something in the past, you know, not now. Our future is created right now, seeded by these things that you guys offer in your program and I talk about in my book, which really is about being conscious now, being willing to be without judgment of the shadow self or whatever, and really acting compassion and love. And I think too now, one of the things, I looked at your forum today, just kind of seeing how people were talking, because it's been a while, it's been 8 months now since you launched it. So I went in 8 or 9 months. I went in just to see a little bit, like what I was scrolling down some, because I'm a member, right? And it just, the amount of excitement and joy that they share with one another is contagious. And, you know, even though people are also saying, you know, they're talking about world events and they're seeing how scary it is, etc., they're all coming together to say, okay, we have to believe that these things are possible. And so I think it's important for us to recognize what's going on in the world, but to get out of that reactivity and be into a response of my response to that is to bring more love to where I am. Yes. Oh, yes. Your turn.
So one of the things that we have taught in your Year of Miracles is this, and it's one of my favorite things I talk about. Marcy loves when I talk about this, and that is that there is this light of grace. You know, sometimes we feel so helpless. Every other day, we turn on the computer or we look at a newspaper, and there's some other horrific happening, mm-hmm. and we start feeling helpless.
Yep.
We start feeling like, what can one individual do? But each one of us is more powerful than we can possibly imagine. And the way I like to explain it, and we talk about this in your Year of Miracles, is that, you know, Colette, there's a light of grace. There is divine light that is shining on every one of us. But it's up to us how much of that light we let in. It's like the sun is always shining on us, but we could go live underground in a bunker and die of vitamin D deficiency and say, you know, there's no sun. Well, it's your choice.
Right.
And it's the same thing with the light of grace. This light of grace wants to bring us everything we want materially, spiritually. But what we do is by certain actions, by doing random acts of kindness, even as little as like holding a door for somebody with a baby carriage, we let the light of grace into our lives by being honest, by being charitable, by not taking credit when credit isn't due, by all these kinds of things that we have a moment of decision, right thing or kind of little maybe a little bit of a wrong thing. We choose the right thing to do and we let that light of grace in. Or we could choose the opposite and we could block some of that grace from our lives. But the point is that when we let the grace in to our lives, we're letting the grace in onto the planet.
Yes.
And the more of those energetically high vibration things we choose to do, and we have a choice at every moment, the more we can really affect world events, because the more of us who are light bringers, the more light will be on the planet, and these kinds of events will not be able to occur anymore.
You know, that is a true statement. There's even, again, the 100th monkey, you know, that whole thing with that island. And, you know, once that 100th monkey learned how to wash its food, all of a sudden a whole other species of monkey on another island started washing their food without ever having been to the other island and seeing it with their eyes. So because we are a species, you know, we can't help but influence. I think the thing that people feel very scared about is because they get affected at the level of their survival. They're afraid. So we shut down. We have that whole, you know, fight, flight thing take over. Then we can't make a decision because we're in a reactive state. And then that can become quite addictive. You know, that mob psychology, you can see the bully culture that's grown out of all of this fear. And I see that as really kind of like the death throes of the old paradigm. You know, that last kick at the can that they say, and which was when they hang, the hanged man, kick, right? That last kick at the can when they're dying, right? So it's a dying off. So it's a part of us also, like the cells in the caterpillar, the imaginal cells create a new condition for the butterfly, but something else has to die off, meaning that it loses its purpose, because its purpose really is, we are seeing that now, its purpose is to show us, ah, yes, the butterfly is coming. We're just not there yet. I think we're still in that nightmare stage when the caterpillar is all screwed up and inside the you know, going, what the hell am I doing in here? You know, like, where's my dream of flying?
And I'm right, and that here. Caterpillar is a fake tan. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Funny. Right, exactly. But you know, people do, they need to know, like, these kind of conversations, this is possible for any one of us anywhere in the world at any time and any stage in our lives to be able to do these simple things, like in 24 hours. Anyone can live in a 24-hour compartment. That's the one thing I learned when I first got sober 30 years ago. You know, they say you stay clean and sober one day at a time. So I've been clean and sober one day at a time for 30 plus, almost 31 years. And so that was the one thing that really, really got me, that we don't have to look so far into the future of how's it going to look? What's it going to be like? We can do it today, right in front of us.
Marcy. And the reality is, I really appreciate that. I'm actually working with someone, a close family member, who's dealing with one step at a time right now, one day at a time. And I really appreciate that philosophy. And the reality is, we want to control the future. We want to say it's going to look exactly like this, because we don't have a deeper sense of trust. Mm-hmm. We don't have a deeper sense of being able to surrender to a friendly universe. You know, Einstein said that the most important question we can ask ourselves is this a friendly universe?
Right.
And
right.
What I've noticed
is
I've interviewed thousands of people at this point, and the people who are living the most miraculous, deeply happy, fulfilled lives are those who say, yes, you know, I trust that this is a benevolent universe. Now, that doesn't mean that everything goes my way or goes the way I think it should, but what it means is that I trust that the universe is on my side, and whatever is showing up for my highest good. And so I often suggest to people that if something is showing up that doesn't look the way you want it to look, to rather than, you know, be feel like a victim of it, to instead ask this question: if this is a loving universe, and if this is happening for my higher good, what is that? What's in it for me? What is that higher good? And so that you start looking at, you start really moving in a place of trust that, you know, I'm being taken care of. And that if I take care of myself today, then tomorrow I'm going to be, it's going to just keep getting better and better.
You know, when I look back 30 plus years ago, because I started doing readings 27 years ago. So it was in the first 2 years of my sobriety, all I did was throw myself into working a 12-step program, doing a course in miracles, being so grateful to be alive. And I didn't trust the voices I was hearing anyway. So I was like, don't talk to me, go away. And, you know, pursuing my career as an artist. And, you know, when I think back, I didn't have a pot to, excuse me, I have a gum in my mouth. Sorry, guys. I didn't have a pot to piss in. I had no idea where my next, how I was going to pay my rent month to month, but I trusted. I had a little apartment and I was, it was clean. I had dignity. I knew every day. I actually woke up every day amazed that my life was so much different and so better, so much better. And I had nothing. I literally had nothing. My husband and I were talking about that in our pool today, swimming. We're like going, you know, I was so happy and I had nothing. And I am so happy today. And yes, okay, fine. We have these experiences around us that we've co-created because we have a beautiful home and it's, you know, why not? But it's no different. It's just the sense, the abracadabra of gratitude and trusting in miracles is what, everything else still was the same. It was my attitude. You know, and it was a consistent attitude. Go ahead, Deborah.
Well, I was going to say, back to your wonderful new book, Uncharted. What I love so much about it is that there's a lot of subtext about trust.
Yes, there is.
Because it's uncharted.
Yeah.
As opposed to the map. And you even say this, the map is, you know, it's known. You can make a map. And the next step is uncharted. And I think that going into, as you call it, the unfamiliar landscape, and not like running away, but going into that uncharted place, that's what Marcy's talking about. That's what you're talking about. These are the days, they are the days of miracles and wonders, but it's also the days of you gotta trust.
Yes.
Because on the surface level, things don't look really pretty. But those people who move ahead, and as you say, don't run away, just keep moving ahead towards uncharted, then that light of grace will, it is going to be there, but you have to trust.
It's like really when they say, Joseph Campbell, the mythologist, said, if you take one step towards the gods, they will take 10 steps towards you. Yes. So it is the trust. It's easy to trust, though, when everything is fine and you feel prosperous and everything is going well. Oh, I can trust. It's when you open up your computer and see like 10 days in a row, a terrible bombing somewhere where innocent people were killed, or oil spills where animals have been killed, or you'll see like all these like horrific, you know, stories that are a result of our old thinking that had, you know, that our best thinking got us to where we are right now. And then we look at that and we go, I can't trust. So I don't look to the outer conditions to decide whether I'll trust or not. You can't.
And also another thing that I believe that you say, and Marcy and I say too, and that is there are all, and I know you say this, there are all of these helpers on the other realms that are not visible. Just call on them. We're like people who live in a mansion with hundreds of servants and we're scrubbing the toilets ourselves because we're just not asking for help.
Yes. That is so true. You know, when I, well, obviously, because it's, I do talk about a chorus of voices that came to me after I, yeah, like, oh, hello. After I'd shot, I mean, it was funny because I think there's one piece in here about asking for help. When we are self-centric, we don't believe there is help. You know, we believe that somehow we get on our knees in a supplicant prayer for some big giant Santa Claus God that's going to be nice to us or get us out of trouble or whatever, instead of communing with the field of source and infinite possibilities of saying, I trust you that in this moment I will get my needs met. And when we affirm that, it's like a command for it. You know, I surrender my will and my life over to the care of God, but God being source, divine matrix, whatever. I think we get into trouble when we have this the language that sees again that separation model or disconnection model where I am lowly and there's some hierarchical whatever. And the miracle comes, I really believe that, when we dissociate from that self-centric life. And that was how I tuned into that chorus of voices that call themselves Fred. Like I thought, oh yeah, my need for the intellectual sophisticates for to say that I am smart and credible just went flying out the window when I told my editor, and I'm like, I think I need to write about this in my new book. And I'm like, okay, I'm screwed now. But you know, I am so woo-woo. All my need to be so mainstream just went plunkola. But anyway, but it was because I couldn't hold on to myself that they were able to come through, because I was so exhausted from doing so many readings. I had done like over 300 readings in 12 days. That's a lot of readings. And you can't hold on. to your sense of self when you're tuning into other people's stuff. So it was kind of like they slipped in the back door. And I'm like, oh, wow. And I mean, I've had other experiences in the past, but I don't know what's wrong with me that I haven't asked more. Because me, I'm the scrubbing toilet personality, okay? Like, I can do this. Never mind. I have been visited, hello, by an angel that scared the shit out of me. And it's like, why don't I ever ask that one? It's like, do not be afraid. They say that even in the Bible. Of course they said that, because that's a real angel. I saw one. They're not cherubs. They're scary 30-foot freaking, you know, bright light things, right, that like knows everything about you. And I'm like, right, when is it the last time when I genuinely ask, you know, genuinely say humbly, you know, it's not about coming up with intellectual ideas, it's about receiving. It's really about receiving and then offering. Marcy.
Yeah, so I ask all the time. I'm big on asking for help from people and from all angelic realms. And
I am now, but I mean, I meant once in a while, I just like forget.
Right. But you brought up a really important word, and that is receive.
Yeah.
Because Deborah and I have found is that especially women have a hard time opening and receiving. We're great at making something happen or giving or doing, but it's almost like you're cheating if you're going to just open up and let grace come in and give it to you. So
Like we have to earn it.
Exactly. Yes. It's like, yeah, I feel guilty. I don't deserve it. So part of the work that I think all of us need to do is the work on self-love.
Yeah.
Is a work on truly, deeply getting our inherent worthiness.
Yeah.
Not because we're our unconditional worthiness.
Unconditional worthiness. Yeah.
Unconditional. It's not because I am, look a particular way or because I'm smart or because I did this or because I helped that person. But there is because of my innate essence as a human.
Mm-hmm. There's a great new book out, called Worthy. Nancy Levin?
Yes.
Nancy Levin. Who's now this amazing coach. She went from, you know, the event director over at Hay House to like now being, or not direct, I think she was like, well, in charge of all. That's because I toured with her for years. And then, you know, worked with Debbie Ford, you know, ended up to be this incredible transformational coach. Like, you would not even believe it. Anyway, she's written this book I think should be a big, giant New York Times bestseller. Probably is by the time people see this because this is pre-taped. But she has a book called Worthy, all about that. Inherent worthiness.
I can't wait to go read that.
Yeah, no, it's really good. It's really good. I mean,
it's such a deep issue, and it's a collective issue. It's a, you know, that we all really need to open up to feeling worthy and open up to receiving.
Deborah, when you were teaching Success Unlimited, did you find that was a big issue for women?
Isn't that funny that Colette called it Success Unlimited? Because it's called Yes to Success.
Oh, Yes to Success.
But it was originally called Successful Woman Unlimited.
No.
You totally just caught my guess.
That's amazing, Colette. That is amazing. Nobody knows that was its original name.
And that's when Marcy was working for me in the early 80s. It was called Successful Woman Unlimited.
Oh,
so
cool.
There you have it.
Oh, there you go. Well, I had no clue. But that's, you know, I'm the psychic friend. I'm the psychic.
Yes, you are the psychic friend. And by the way, I have to tell you something else. I saw Marcy's big smile on her face. Fred is my former husband's name.
No. That's funny. That is cool. Well,
who I adore love. And when I saw that this group of masters, this energy that is, you know, just guiding you and coming through you for the good of the world, and that group or whatever, however you describe
it. It's a chorus.
Fred, right.
Fred. I'm like, Fred, are you going to not call yourself something better? And then I'm like, can't you give me like Ezekiel or Gandalf or something so I can be more important? No, it's Fred. Fred. But you know what? I used to joke around and I'd call, when I was working with Pam Grout on a Oracle deck, I would refer to God as Quantum Fred, right? Quantum Fred. But then I forgot about it because sometimes I just use words and whatever. So I only remembered it quite a bit after the fact, when I was writing the book, tuning in, when my, you know, like kind of shyly, like, hello, are you still there? You know, and then I realized that, right, that's how I refer to it. But Fred meaning the ruler of peace, that is what Fred means. And then the Wayne's World character that Kay showed up to, Garth, of all things, I didn't even know what it was. I didn't even like that movie. It was a stupid movie, right? I had to like, why am I seeing, why are these supposed higher beings, ascended masters showing me Wayne's World to tell people about? Because Garth means defender of the garden. The ruler of peace, defender of the garden. I'm like, oh my God.
Well, I have to say, I love Wayne's World, so.
Okay, well, now I like it now, but I didn't when I saw it years ago. Now I love it. Are you kidding me?
Right, I'm like, right. Wayne's it. World, Wayne's World. Anyway, to answer your question, I and Marcy will love this. See, when we started your Year of Miracles, Marcy was very clear that she wanted it just to be for women. And me being the... not wanting to leave anybody out, like, right. Oh, Mars, can't we have everybody? And but Marcy is very clear that we are here to work with women. And what's very interesting is that we do have some men, but we have some men who have, to be in a program that's 99% women, you know that the men have to have some unique qualities.
Right.
But what's very interesting about it is that it's like the Dalai Lama's quote that the world is going to be changed by the Western woman. And I think that intuitively, Marcy's intuition being better than mine on this one, that intuitively we're leaders of women. We're all leaders of women.
Me
and although
too.
They're, you're right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's also because we have, as have the people who have been listening, been chosen to be the example of what is possible for women in the world. And look at the time we're living at right now. We're about to have a woman president, please God. I mean, and I don't know when this is, maybe we do already by the time people are listening to this. But
August. They're going to get it in August. They won't get that. November, right? Isn't that American elections? I'm in Canada now, so I forgot.
That's right. We're in the U.S. But basically, I think that it's not so much that women need this more. I think that it is the day of the woman. It is the time of the woman leader. It is the time for women to take their rightful place and take their sword and gently but powerfully lead the world.
Yeah.
Now is the time.
This is so, I feel like you too. I'm actually a bit of a people pleaser. I think my whole need to have everybody come is so nobody won't like, everybody will like me. I think that's the biggest shadow piece of me. But we only had one man out of 60 attendees. I keep my Uncharted weekend workshops to 60 people so that people, that's a group where everybody can see each other. Nobody gets lost. And it's one man. One man. I think in my 400 students on my Oracle card class, there are three men, right? So I don't attract, I know too also, like what I teach and what I do, I know it's for women. Although I let the odd guy come in, right? So, because I don't say no to them, but you're right. It takes a certain kind of man to be around this that has a really good balance of feminine and masculine energy. But yeah, I agree with you about women, the Western women. And I think you're right. I think, who knows? You know, I just feel that we need now more than ever to band together as women, really, and erase the whole old paradigm of competitiveness, of bullying, of all of that old way of seeing the worldview. Take it away. It's time. It's time to get rid of it. It doesn't suit us when we try to be men, try to be successful and like manlike. Don't you think?
I think the reality is that we're all, I'm getting an echo, that we're really here to be our best self.
Right.
You know, how we incarnated with the lessons that we are here to learn ourselves and to, with the destiny, the dharma, if you will, which just means our life purpose, to live. And I think when we stay true to that, which is what we all try to help people align with, is what am I here to do? And how am I here to share my light? And that's the ultimate, you know. And I know we're getting to the end of our conversation, and I want to make one point that I always really find so important to make, because people often say to me, isn't, and they say to both of us, perhaps they say it to you too, Colette, isn't it selfish? You're just focusing on living your best life.
Oh, yeah.
What about the rest of the world? And I always love to share this Chinese proverb because I think it really is very telling. And it goes like this. It says, when there is light in the soul, there will be beauty in the person. When there is beauty in the person, there will be harmony in the house. When there is harmony in the house, there will be order in the nation. And when there is order in the nation, there will be peace in this world.
That makes me wonder.
That's our charge, to find the light in our own souls and to live that out. And that's how we best can help create peace here on this planet of ours, that I know we all want to live on that kind of a world.
Oh my God. I could not have asked for a better closure of this conversation. I want to thank you both from the bottom of my heart for this real and raw off the cuff conversation about creating miracles, about being collaborators, about being women in the world, and about making the world a better place. I can't thank you enough. You guys have just given so much value to whoever's going to watch this. I love you both. I want to hang out with you more.
We love you. We love
you. Come visit.
I will. We'll talk. Bye, guys.
Bye. Lots of love.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.